Hallelujah. Let's bless the Lord and thank Him
for
bringing us back here today again, for all He has done for us before, from the last meeting to this meeting. Father, we thank You, Lord, for providing for us, for protecting us and our loved ones. Blessed be Your name, Lord God. We worship You. Thank You for making our lives and the lives of our loved ones precious to You. Blessed be Your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank You. We're here again today to come and learn at the Word War College, to learn how to make war with Your word against the words of the enemy. Wicked words, incantations, and all their wicked words and wicked wishes. We know that Your word will swallow them up. Mm-hmm. As it swallowed up as the rod of Aaron swallowed up the rods of the magicians. Yes. That is why we are here, Lord. And we're trusting You, God, that You will come and You will teach us.
Mm-hmm.
New things today.
Amen.
So that we will be armed and ready for the war and the battles of this year. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are on Leviathan. Off. So we're on Leviathan part 2. Leviathan spirit, the dragon, the snake, the serpent, water spirits, and anything that creeps and crawls, anything that tears to pieces, that is Leviathan for you. The python, anything that is snake-like, anything crawling, or anything that has horns, that is the python spirit. I mean the Leviathan spirit for you. Because there are some snakes that even have horns.
Yeah.
They said there are some snakes. They even have, every snake has a horn, but the horn has retracted. It's rudimentary. They call it rudimentary. So how do you recognize in the spirits? For instance, if you have a dream, how do you recognize a Leviathan spirit in the dream? How do you recognize it? Now, it could manifest as a person. You see, and that's what he does. And that's what they do. It's a master at disguise. You know, we said that. But it manifests as a person who grows taller or shorter as it comes towards you. That's how he will do. And if he wants to hug you, he has no arms. So he will just flop over your shoulder. Or or sometimes he will want to kiss you on the head. That means he wants to put a mark of or a spell, a mark of death on that person. So what you're just looking at is a snake in a dress or in a suit. I've had encounters like that with them. When you put your arms around them, you will see that the body is round, it's not flat, like the body of a person. Now, sometimes you can't see the feet. They're usually dressed in white. Water spirits are usually dressed in white. And you cannot see the feet because the dress will cover up the feet and it will be flapping. Because really it has no feet because it's a snake or it's a fish. So what it has is the tail of a fish. And that's why they cover up their feet. That's typically what you see. Now, when it's not manifesting, masquerading as a person, it manifests as a beast that he is. So you see it like a creepy crawly, a fish, water creature, what are any water creatures at all? Marine, you know, it can be a seahorse, it can be a shrimp, and all these things. It can be what they call jellyfish and all that. Especially those marine animals that are poisonous. That if they sting somebody, they can kill the person. You know? And that is like a stingray, jellyfish, and things like that. Don't ever think that they are helpless. No, they're not. They're very deadly. As I said, snake, lizard, and all those kind of things. It also manifests like cats. Cats, dogs, tigers, leopards, and all those animals that move, they move, you know, they stalk their prey. You know, they move slowly and they move slowly when they want to hide from the enemy. And then they suddenly strike. That's how a leopard or a tiger, that's how they attack. And they tear the animals, I mean their victims to pieces and devour them. That's how those are the kind of animals that fall into that category. And we also said like bats, because they fly, they suck blood, some suck blood and things like that. Soldier ants fall into that category. Said that because they're usually found near swamps, and when they are trooping along, they move like snakes. You know, if you are not careful, when you first see them, you still think it's a snake and you run away. Then you see that they are soldier ants, but they are just as deadly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now there's one thing, there's a mystery. I think I briefly talked about it, about the Bermuda Triangle. There's a mystery in the Bermuda Triangle. In the lower part of Florida, you know, the southern, the Florida and the islands, the Caribbean islands, there's a particular place there where planes and ships disappear at particular times, because it's, or maybe they pass through a particular place or something, I don't know. Nobody knows. It's just a mystery. You find that it will cast veil over planes and all and their ships and all their instruments that they use to know where they are will just go flat. As if yes, you are not up, you are not down, you are not this, you are not that. You know, please switch it off. Just turn it off. Or put it on silent. So you find that suddenly that place and the plane will disappear. The plane will disappear and they will never see it again. A whole ship with thousands and with hundreds of people will disappear and you won't see it again. And the Lord was telling me that it is this place. Okay, why I got that, why he told me that is because when we were in Ghana on missions, we heard that there's another place on the, along West Africa that you cannot, a ship cannot pass unless there's a black person on board. You pass Senegal, I think it passes Senegal, there's a place there. Unless there's a black person on board, a ship cannot pass that place. It will overturn and it will disappear. You see? And I believe that all these things have to do with the slave trade. It has to do with the slave trade. Why, a sister once told me that she had a revelation one day. She saw a man just rise out of the sea, catch a plane with his bare hands, two hands, and dragged it under the sea. And the Lord said, that is Leviathan in action. That is 33,000 feet. He dragged it under the sea. She saw it in a revelation. Now, what happened in the past in those particular locations? Those were the slave routes, you see, along the West African coast. And the place where the Bermuda Triangle is now, many slaves escaped from the U.S. to the Caribbean islands. And I have no doubt that they will be cursing and railing. And they put a curtain there in Bermuda that our slave masters will never know where we have gone to. They will curse and rail until there's a veil cast over that place. So that anybody that is coming to see us, this must happen to them, that must happen to them. And these curses will continue working till now. Unless somebody does something about it. Along the West African coast that I spoke about, it is because slaves were carried off in that place. When you watch the film called Roots, you will see that as the slaves were being carried away, they were cursing Africa. So the whole of West Africa coast was cursed. Until in 1992, we had a prayer meeting, an international prayer meeting, where we repented. Even people came from the Caribbeans. We repented to them, the American blacks and the Caribbeans. We repented to them for selling them to slavery, their forefathers to slavery. And we repented. And while that repentance was going on, we were all crying and weeping. And one of those sisters from the Caribbeans fell under the anointing. She fell under the anointing and did not get up until we finished doing the prayer. The pain was so much, and she couldn't just stand it. So you can imagine that all that cursing has put, had made strongholds. That's the word. Has made those places into strongholds. So that unless somebody does something about it, unless prayer is made, unless there's that Bermuda Triangle, till today, I think they avoid a particular part there till today. They just avoid it. When I was young, I used to read horror stories when I was a teenager. And I read a fictional book which chronicled how ships were capsized in a particular place and that the occupants did not really die but were kept as slaves under the sea in a massive, in a kingdom where some massive slaves are located under the sea. And those people are being used there as slaves. Now, where did the person get that kind of inspiration to write such a book? You don't know. You know, the dragon likes to boast. So he's probably giving that person inspiration to boast of what he's doing. Hey, look, you human beings, you are my slave under the waters. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, once the atonement work of Jesus Christ is brought to bear in all those places will be set free and there will be no more problem. There will be no more problems. But that's the kind of thing that Leviathan can do. And that is why we're dealing with it. Leviathan and children. Leviathan hates children. He hates the young. And is in charge of repeated abortions, stillbirths, repeated sickness and deaths of children and other problems in their lives. And he targets both born and living children. Doesn't care. Let's look at Revelation 12. We'll see it there. Revelation 12 in verses 4 and 17, you see that while it was targeting the child that was to be born, it also, when it couldn't get that one, it also went to make war with the children of that woman. And they said, let me read it. And his tail, verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and this cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So that is the child, baby. 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Which means that whether you're a Christian or not, you can still come under the attack of Leviathan, which we know very well. Persecutes the woman because she hates the woman. Because God declared war between the woman and him in Genesis 3:15. That she will produce a seed that will destroy it. Therefore, you find that, of course, it will be responsible for a lot of cases of infertility. Especially, you have attacks on the ovary. There's particular cysts, you know, ovarian cysts, hormonal problems which cause infertility. Hormones are in the blood. That, you know, I told you anything water, it will, you know, so it will affect the hormones, affect the ovary, you know, and just make sure that the woman will not have that seed that will come and crush his head. Meanwhile, the seed has been produced 2,000 years ago. And defeated him on the cross. Even though he bruised his heel, but he crushed his head. That crushing of the head is what we are supposed to enforce. Jesus is not coming again to come and crush that head. We are the body. We are his body. And we are supposed to crush, keep on crushing until the final casting into the lake of fire, which will happen in Revelation 20, after the white throne judgment. And this is where you see that this spirit is also the one that is responsible for being, for spirit, is the one that is the spirit spouse. The spirit spouse is always a snake. It's just a snake that is coming to jeer at the woman as, visit them, and hey, you want a child, oh yeah, let's go now, and so on and so forth. You see, if a woman has a spirit husband, it's unlikely she will marry. It's to make sure she doesn't marry. And if she does, because you even put a veil over her face, you see some of them, no man is even looking at them, because he has put a veil of his skin over their faces, and the men will just pass a beautiful woman by. And everybody will just pass her by. Nobody is asking her for marriage. And then, and also, if the woman is able to marry, it will then start fighting that marriage until it breaks. There's a woman that came for counseling, and she said that, oh, every time her husband and herself, when they make peace and all that, she will see that she has arranged her house beautifully, put hangings on the walls, and everything is beautiful. Then one day, she will just see a green snake come and start crawling along the wall, pulling down everything, turning her house upside down, you know. And the next morning, she and her husband will start fighting. So that's the jealous spirit husband. And the spirit spouses are very, very jealous. So even if the woman gets married, you make sure the marriage breaks. If it doesn't break, it will attempt to make sure they don't have children. It will cause repeated abortions. It will cause infertility and all manner of things. So the Leviathan, if a woman is telling you she's seen a snake, it's not something to be taken lightly. Something to be dealt with very seriously. Now, if she's pregnant, she will come and sleep with her and abort the baby. If she has children, you know, they torment the children, make their lives just unlivable and all manner of things, make them sick. So Leviathan is not something to be taken lightly. We must deal with it with everything that we got, everything that is in the Bible. Amen. Amen. Now, another sign of Leviathan is that he's very proud. Job 41:34. Let's look at it. God himself called him the king over all the children of pride. In that Job 41:34. Very stubborn, very unrepentant, very proud. especially when he walks hand in hand with Jezebel's spirit, very stubborn, unrepentant. And you have to fight, sometimes you have to fight a long drawn battle with Leviathan. But for sure, because God has promised that we will crush his head, we will win, we will continue to win. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And the way you will know that you have won, let's say in the dream, is that sometimes you see some fishes have been roasted. Yeah. In fact, angels will come and present it to you. But look, we've roasted them. You see a snake that is writhing in pain, you know, or the head will be cut off, or it will be, you just know that the head will be crushed. You know that, yes, you have overcome this spirit. And then you begin to see breakthroughs in the physical. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the other thing it does is a slanderer. It's a liar. It's a slanderer. It's a slanderer. It seeks to discourage us, especially ministers, by spreading falsehood about them and seeking to discourage them from doing the work of God that he has set them to do. That is what the flood from his mouth does. Revelation 12:15. Sorry, I'm going a bit fast today. The flood from the mouth of the dragon, Revelation 12:15, represents the work of accusation and slander. And we're told in Revelations anyway that is the Revelation 12:15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. So you see, a woman has this problem or that problem in the home. This child is sick. That one is sick. There's not enough money to do this. And yet something breaks down in the house. This one breaks down. There are times when many children will be sick. You know, in my home, if more than one of my children is sick, I am sick and another child is sick, I will know that this dragon attack. We begin to pray. You don't waste time. You don't waste time. Oh, you heard that somebody in the family, something happened, and this one, when he was traveling, had accident. And in one family, you know that this is dragon attack. Now, let me read something to you. Jeremiah 18:18. One of the things, so we have to be very careful as servants of God, that one of the things that the devil will use against you is slander. Slander, accusation, false accusations. That is what they will use. And they're just using the mouth of the python. The python, you know. In Revelation 12, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. That means particularly likes to accuse Christians. Oh, don't mind them. You say he's born again. So Jeremiah 18:18, do you have it? Okay, do you have it?
Yes,
ma'am. It's a very interesting scripture. What does it say?
Then said they, come and let us devise against Jeremiah.
Can you see? Let us devise devices against Jeremiah. Yes?
For the law shall not perish from the priest.
Yes, you cannot take the law from the priest. God gave it to him. And whatever God gives to his ministers is forever. Yes.
Nor counsel from the wise.
Because the counsel given to the wise is from God. And
war.
It's a gift given forever. Yes.
Nor the word from
The prophet. So you can't take the word from the prophet. You can't take the calling on their heads from them. Because it is God that called them. So what can we do? Yes.
Come and let us smite him with the tongue.
Can you hear?
And let us not give to any of his words.
Now, that is it. You know, once they slander that person, nobody will even want to listen to his preaching again. You see? So that is the work of Leviathan, the slanderer, the accuser of the brethren. So we must never try to defend ourselves. Ah, no, it's not true. It's not. Don't worry. Take it to God. And there is a weapon in Scripture against slander. We are going to look at it when we begin to talk about how to deal with Leviathan. Now, in Jeremiah 29:7-10, you will see, we're not going to read it, you see lamentations of Jeremiah. Remember, they used to call him the weeping prophet. He used to weep and weep and weep. Let me just read a bit of it. He said, "Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me." You see? So you deceive me. You say, "I should be your servant. You are not defending me." He said, "For I speak, I cried out. I cried out violent and spoiled, because of the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." And so on and so forth. He said, verse 10, he said, "For I had the defaming of many, defaming him, spoiling his reputation, lying against him, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my familiars," that is so-called people around him, "watched for my halting." That is, they're waiting for me to fall. "Saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him." So we should not worry about the human beings that are being used. Amen?
Amen.
They are just talking for the devil. For the serpent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we must always be battle ready, but we must know that God has judged Leviathan already. There are many judgments that God has given against Leviathan. We're going to look at it as we did for Jezebel's spirit. Now, remember that I said he likes to disguise. So he can carry the face of anybody. So whatever he's doing that is not right, be ready to fight. I always pray both ways if I'm not sure that this is a friend or a foe. Even though he's carrying the face of a friend, he's doing things that if that friend would not normally do. This must be Leviathan. So I'll pray both ways. Lord, if it is Leviathan, then this. If it is not, cover that person with your blood. It is, you cannot afford to allow a threat from Leviathan to go. Because you don't know what he's planning. It takes nothing to speak to quote the scriptures against him, the scriptures we're going to look at in a minute. It doesn't take anything, any time to do it. And remember that the word of God is not stupid. If that attack is not that, anyway, you won't mention names. You just say that spirit, that Leviathan spirit. Uh-huh. But the word of God will not do what God would not do. You see? And that is why I always use the word of God. When we use the word of God, it will go and target whatever needs to be targeted. It will not go anywhere else. He said, "My word that goes forth, it shall not return to me void. It will prosper in that thing to which I sent it, to which God himself sent it." You see? Some people will say, if you are praying against somebody, if you are praying against this, it's the devil that will go and do it. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. How can the devil go and do my bidding when I'm not his servant? It's not possible. Especially when we use the word of God, the word of God will always go to where God has sent it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, God has already cursed and judged it. in Genesis 3, 14 and 15, we won't go there, that it will always crawl on its will be cursed. God cursed it. You are cursed above all cattle, above every field of this build, of the field. And you know, it's the most hated animal, Abby. If we want to say, really say it, snake, hey, everybody will take off. Yeah. Even if you say lion, they will still wait and say, ah, lion in this place. But if you say snake, nobody will think twice. That, oh, what can a snake? Everybody will run. It's the most hated animal on earth. And it's because God has cursed it. So you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go. Dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That means the original snake was not meant to be crawling on the ground. It was walking, he was walking on his, yeah. And sometimes some snakes do that. They walk on their tail. Yes. You see? Then he said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and her seed. Shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, that means that it is God that declared war between us and Satan and the serpent. You see? It is God that declared that war between us and Satan. You can use it interchangeably, Satan, serpent, because in Revelation 12, it was called that serpent, you know, that old serpent, the devil and Satan. So it's God that declared that war, and God can never declare a war that he cannot win. He cannot. There's no way. There's no way. Now, okay, looks like I had talked of spirit spouses, and yet there's a portion here about spirit spouses. I've spoken a bit about it. But let's look at the scriptures that tell us that fallen angels come to sleep with women. Genesis 6. Let's open Genesis 6. Now, when the Bible talks of spirit spouses, people believe that it can't happen. It's happening. It happens. It's in the Bible. It's in Genesis 6, 1 and 2. Let's read it.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose.
Okay, so there you have it. When they talk about sons of God or stars of God, they're talking about angels. They're talking about angels. And these ones that are doing such a thing are fallen angels. They are fallen angels. Why? Because Jesus Christ said in Matthew 22:30, he said, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So angels don't marry. In fact, angels don't have sex. They are not neither male nor female. But they can take the form of a female. They can take the form of a male. You see? But they don't marry. They're not interested in marriage. They're not interested in men. I mean, in women and all that. So evil spirit marrying human beings was so abominable in the eyes of God that he destroyed the world because of that. Because that brought contamination into his creation. When fallen angels started to marry. And the, please, Shay, you haven't closed that place, Mama. So let's look at from verse 4. What does it say? So after they started sleeping with the women, something happened. Yes?
They were giants in the earth.
They produced abnormal children who are called Nephilims in other scripture, in other translation of the Bible. Yes.
And also after that,
when the sons of
God came in unto the daughters of men, and they born
They bear children, yes, them. Yes.
The same became mighty men, mm-hmm. which were of old, men of renown.
Okay, now, these became real giants, you know, that had more power than human beings. That's what they call them, men of renown. They became known because they became very powerful, because they are very powerful and had strange powers. And they are called Nephilims. So what happened in verse 5?
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth,
mm-hmm.
and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil.
Continually. Now, this is what happened. They said these ones had... they were very wise and very cunning, and they were the ones that began to teach human beings how to make weapons, how to make weapons of war, how to do evil in the earth. They polluted everything. So verse 6, what happened?
And it repented the Lord, mm-hmm. that he had made man, mm-hmm. on the earth,
mm-hmm.
and it grieved him at his heart.
Mm. Yes.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth,
mm-hmm.
both man and beast, mm-hmm. and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air,
mm-hmm.
for it repented me that I have made them.
So the deluge came in the time of Noah. You see, beasts were destroyed, men were destroyed, leaving only those eight. Okay, so we continue our teaching on Leviathan. Spirit, we were interrupted by a call. Now we were talking about fallen angels that fell and started marrying young women and producing abnormally large and wicked children, and God decided to destroy the earth. Now, this is very common, being married to... I was going to say that God now said, if we look at that verse 7 of Genesis 6, he said, I will destroy man, number one. He said, both man, yes, and beast too, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. You see? But he did not talk about water. Animals in the water, you see. So when these things that were, it is believed that these Nephilims and things, they are actually spirit beings that have bodies. We don't know how that happened. And they have continued their evil work till today. And they're especially common in the riverine areas, in the coastal areas. And it is not a strange thing for them to have spirit spouse and to get married, to actually have festivals and celebrations and ceremonies to marry their spirit spouses and be having communion with them. They cook for their spirit spouse and they go to the waters and feed them. Gio talked about seeing a strange sight one day. She saw a woman as he was traveling through Edo. A woman sat and she was feeding the water with pounded yam and egusi, you know, very delicious food. He said he had to ask his driver to stop. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "She's feeding her husband. What's your business there? Go away." In another story, a prayer warrior went to visit a friend, and meeting his friend's absence, he said, "Okay, let me just wait for him." He said, "Well, let me take a nap on his bed." Immediately he got on that bed, a lovely spirit's wife appeared to him and was ready to make love to him. He had to struggle with her and run out of the house. So it's more common than we think. And on my blog, you know, the Pen of the Ready Writer blog, almost every case that comes, it's because they have spirit husband or spirit wife. Everyone that has contacted me on WhatsApp, almost all of them. And they're going to about 30 or 50 now, just within the last 3 months or 4 months. And some are so violent and so... There are some cases that I had to just refer them to MFM. It's not something that somebody can handle online. But those that are... There was one that is in Kenya. It's a Kenyan, but she lives in India. And there was no MFM church that she could go to. We handled it together. God helped us. I sent her tapes and I was praying along with her, and she overcame him. She overcame the evil thing. Now she only texts me to say, "Oh, Mom, I just want to see, how are you? I just want to check on you." There are two of them like that. "I just want to check on you." So they can be overcome, whether spirit husband or spirit wife can be overcome. Now, we're not just talking about spirit wife we're not talking about spirit spouses now alone. There'll be a spirit house, there'll be spirit children. There'll be spirit children. There'll be tokens of the wedding, the wedding dress, rings, and things like that. And half of the time, people are not even aware that they have spirit spouses. Many would think, "Oh, maybe because I'm a virgin and I'm celibate, I'm not having sex, even though I'm grown up. And that's why I'm having these visitations." And they would think nothing of it. And anyway, half of the time people are ashamed to even speak of such things, you know. And so this thing continues until they go to a meeting and they speak of it. Say, "Wow, so there's something like that, and I need to get rid of it." Okay, fine. Now, let's look at what are the signs of spirit spouse. One, as I said, the person may be aware that he's married to a spirit being which only she can see. I may even be aware of the day of the wedding. She may see herself with the spirit spouse in dreams. They may have spirit children. Or the person may not even see anything, just that something comes to make love to her on a regular basis, both male or female. Something comes to make love to her. And it can be so violent. Some can be very violent and very jealous. They cause, number two, late marriage. They cause late marriage because the spirit spouse will jealously drive away prospective suitors one way or the other. Sometimes the spirits will kill the suitor or... Shut those windows, please. Or they may manifest to the suitor and threaten him that "You must leave my wife alone." It has happened. They threaten the suitor or the wife, you know. If it's a spirit wife, you know, they threaten her to leave the girl alone, to leave the man alone. Number three. Turbulent marriages leading to divorce. You may find that it is a spirit husband or a spirit wife that is in the background, you see. And if you have a man with a spirit wife married to a woman with a spirit husband, that is double jeopardy. That marriage won't last at all. As I told you, there was a woman who came for prayers, and she told me about once she sees a snake crawling all over her house, throwing down her beautiful wall hangings and family photographs, just throwing them down. By the next day, she will start fighting with her husband. Number four, repeated deaths of a fiancé or fiance. You see? You find somebody who is to get married, has the person she's supposed to marry has had died many times, on many occasions. Once it happens more than once, know that there's a spirit spouse there. Or that is when the husband will now lose his job. He wants to get married. That's when the man will lose his job. Or the woman will lose her job, or something will happen to them. So you know that this person has a spirit spouse. Amen.
Amen.
Number five. Repeated death of spouses. If you have a man who gets married and his wife keeps dying, know that this man has a spirit wife somewhere that is killing her husband, the husband or the wives. It has happened again. Now, I know a family that a mother told me, she told her daughter, if her husband should die, she must not marry again. So I said, these people have just got married last year. What kind of advice is that? Are you expecting your daughter to be widowed early? Then the Lord reminded me that she herself and her two sisters were widowed early. They were widowed early. So this woman doesn't allow her children. In fact, she is always almost afraid to let her children marry. And I saw that one of her daughters has a spirit husband. I saw the man following her about in a dream. So when you see that kind of thing in that kind of family, where women are widowed early and they're even afraid to allow their daughters to marry, and the mother is already telling her daughter, if your husband dies, you won't marry you, don't marry you. Have you? Because it means that another husband can die. And that's a serious scandal. And it means they know that there's something wrong, but they don't know what to do about it. We bless God that there's something that can be done. Amen. Number six. Number six. Lack unfruitful marriages with repeated abortions. Especially with repeated abortions. Unfruitful marriages, lack of children in a marriage, especially if they are accompanied by repeated abortions in the woman. You can be sure that there is a spirit husband somewhere. Some will even tell you that she will be pregnant and then somebody will sleep with her, and by morning the baby will come out. Another one will say, a cow will come and hit her on the belly, on the pregnancy, with his horns, and the baby will fall out. So you have cases like that. You will know that a spirit husband is in the background somewhere. Number seven, signs of knowing that there's a spirit spouse somewhere. Now, unending trouble in the lives of the physical children of a marriage, turning them into vagabonds, troubling them up and down, would mean that there's a spirit, there are spirit children troubling them. Because spirit spouses, when you have spirit marriage, there'll be spirit children. So there are spirit children will trouble the physical children. And that is why we cannot take the issue of spirit spouses we can't take it with levity. It must be seriously dealt with. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. What it even wants to do is to kill that person that is supposed to be the spouse. Not just kill the children. It wants to kill that person that is the spouse. And he wants to kill the spouse that married his spouse. Wants to kill them all. So we need to be very careful. And we know that if somebody is having repeated, that kind of repeated disasters in the family, in his life, in the personal life, some people can even commit suicide. You see, some people can go into depression and commit suicide. Number eight, signs of spirit spouse. Number eight, sign of spirit spouse. Repeated failure in the works of the hands of the earthly spouse. You see, the earthly spouse just can't make it. The earthly spouse. You find some cases that when it's time to marry, that's when the one of them will lose his job. There's been a case where both of them lost their jobs. The man and the woman, they have very good jobs and they lost their jobs just as they were going to get married. Why? Because the spirit husband is very, very vicious and very jealous. The Bible says jealousy is as strong as the grave, as strong as death. In the Songs of Solomon, jealousy is a terrible, terrible thing. You know, it can cause, it causes all manner of evil. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The good news is that God himself, he hates spirit spouses, destroyed the earth because of them in the time of Noah. And he will fight to set the captives free when they cry to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I always teach that you must draw God into the battle against Leviathan. So our weapons of warfare against Leviathan. Let's go to the weapons of warfare now. The first thing, because it's a terrible and wicked beast, strong man, we have to do preparation. We have to be prepared. We have to prepare for war. So preparation. One, we must repent of all sins, both personal and ancestral. Because the Bible says, he who breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite him. We're dealing with serpents now. So we must repent seriously of all sins. Using Psalm 51 or Daniel 9, I think 4 to 19. We use it to, it's a very good place to use to repent for sins, personal and ancestral, asking for a washing of the blood of Jesus, covering of the blood, so that we can be pure from any sin that may give the dragon an edge in the battle. We must keep ourselves clean, unspotted from sin. Avoid places that might be, we might be tempted or defiled by the wrong company. That is very important. Wrong company, wrong conversation. Keep away from it. Reading the wrong books that will make somebody be defiled, or watching terrible films like horror films and things like that. You have to stop. Or any film, any movie that is sexy or something like that. In fact, a Christian should stop watching worldly film movies, because you now have more than enough Christian movies to watch. You don't even have enough time to watch them all. And not just Nigerian. The American, you know, all manner of Christian films that one can watch on YouTube free of charge. So you don't even need to watch worldly films. We need to ask God for angelic assistance, especially for Michael and the host. He only needs to come for 1 second and you get rid of that Leviathan for you. We need to keep asking God for angelic assistance, especially for Michael and the host. We need to ask God to give us his full armor to put on. According to Ephesians 6:10, to 18. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Full armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Father, thank you. Give me your armor. I've put it on, you know. So that's 1, 2, 3, right? 1, 2, 3, yes. The full armor of God, yes. Now, the full armor of God, if you look at it well, is simply the full character of Jesus Christ. So that we will not break any hedge. So that the serpent will not bite us. And if you look at verse 18 of that Ephesians 6, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying in the Spirit is a capital S. That means praying all manner of prayer as led by the Holy Spirit. When they talk about praying in tongues, it's different from this. This one includes praying in tongues, but it also includes praying all manner of prayers and watching to see what God will show us so that we know what is the next prayer point to formulate from Scripture. Number 4. It is imperative to continuously ask for the sevenfold anointing of the Spirit of God that was placed upon Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah 11:1-3. The fullness of the sevenfold operation of the Holy Spirit placed upon Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. Because that's why he never lost any war. Let me read it. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. We know that's Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Because Jesse is the father of David. Isaiah 11:1-3. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord, if you look at that Lord, L-O-R-D in capital, that's the Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of Jehovah, the man of war, shall rest upon him. 1. The Spirit of wisdom. 2. The Spirit of understanding. 3. The Spirit of counsel. 4. The Spirit of might. 5. The Spirit of knowledge. 6. And of the fear of the Lord. Amen. All these are very, very important. We need to have understanding of what is happening. We need to have wisdom. We need to have knowledge. We need to have wisdom, how to use it. The Spirit of the fear of Jehovah. We need to continuously submit ourselves to God. You see? He said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There are a lot of promises for those that fear God. It will make God to fight for them. And the Spirit of counsel. We must be able to receive wise counsel. Some people received foolish counsel, wicked counsel. One time, somebody was telling me they had this problem with spirit spouse. Instead of going to their pastor, they went to their parents, who then took them to somebody, who now took them to the waters to do another. So now she had double anointing of spirit spouse. That's why we must always pray for the Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of counsel allows you not only to give good counsel, but to receive wise counsel and know that this is bad counsel. The Spirit of might, the ability to operate this power of God physically, especially in the spirit. You see yourself in the spirit, you take a snake and tear it to pieces. You'll be surprised that that is you. You'll be surprised that that is you. So all this, the sevenfold Spirit of the Holy Spirit must rest upon us for us to be able to fight this evil being. Amen. So let's pray. Amen. Let's pray. The first prayer point goes like this. Lord Holy Spirit.
Lord Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I ask that you anoint me now.
I ask that you anoint me now.
With the fullness of your oils.
With the fullness of your oils.
Which you placed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Which you placed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Rest upon me, Lord, Holy Spirit.
Rest upon me, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
By the Spirit of Jehovah.
By the Spirit of Jehovah.
The man of war.
The man of war.
The Spirit of knowledge.
The Spirit of knowledge.
The Spirit of understanding.
The Spirit of understanding.
The Spirit of wisdom.
The Spirit of wisdom.
The Spirit of counsel.
The Spirit of counsel.
The Spirit of might.
The Spirit of might.
And the fear of the Lord.
And the fear of the Lord.
That I may receive.
I may receive
battle strategies.
Battle strategies.
And the power.
And the power
for this battle.
For this battle.
From you.
From you.
I submit myself.
I submit myself
totally.
Totally.
To your leadings.
To your leadings.
O Captain of my salvation.
O Captain of my salvation.
And receive the ability.
And receive the ability.
To formulate.
To formulate.
Strategic.
Strategic.
Prayer points.
Prayer points.
From divine revelations.
From divine revelations.
From you.
From you.
I
recognize
and declare,
and declare
that it is only with you,
and it's only with you,
O God,
O God,
that I shall have victory,
that I shall have victory
over this invading,
over this invading
Leviathan spirit,
Leviathan spirit,
and his deadly army,
and his deadly army.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I put all my trust in you.
I put all my trust in you.
I submit to you, Lord.
I submit to you, Lord.
The Captain of my salvation.
Captain of my salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now the first, now we go to the weapons. The weapons. The first one is the hooks of the Lord. You will see that all this, the, all the, all the weapons are wielded by God Himself. The hooks of the Lord. We read it yesterday. Job 41, 1 and 2. He said, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook?" That means you can't, but God can.
Yes.
God was talking to Job. Now the full judgment is in Ezekiel 29:3-5. Ezekiel 29:3-5. And it goes, "Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which has said, my river is my own, and I have made it for myself. But I will put hooks in your jaws." Now, when you talk of rivers, it's talking about a nation as well, not just talking about a river. And you know, many nations are built around large rivers, and some take the name of the rivers, like Nigeria and Niger River. He said, "It says, my river is my own, I've made it for myself. But I will put hooks in thy jaws, and I will cause the fish of thy rivers to stick unto thy scales, and I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of thy rivers shall stick to thy scales, and I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy rivers. Thou shalt fall upon the open fields, thou shalt not be brought together nor gathered. I have given thee to be meat for the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven."